play. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when it comes like the show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, the Northern Trust up in wonderful New York, right outside of New Jersey and on the Hudson River, basically. So much fun over there. So go check all that stuff out. It's a beautiful looking course. We'll get to that in a minute. You can check me out on Twitter at BDentric, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing well, dude. How are you today?
Not too bad. It's a little warm out here on the West Coast. Of course, no rain because it never rains out here. So, yeah, life is good. But ready to get this FedEx playoff over with, because I'm already looking forward to the Safeway, as weird as that sounds.
Well, that and the Ryder Cup.
Yes, as well. The Ryder Cup's going to be awesome. Yeah, I know. We just talked about that like 30 seconds ago. I should probably have thought of that, but that's going to be awesome. I'm actually looking forward to the teams getting picked, which is very soon.
Yeah,
that'll be fun because everyone's going to either be all fill or no fill, and that's going to be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just have fun. Are you team fill on the Ryder Cup or not?
No.
Okay, neither am I. I don't need some rah-rah cheerleader. If he wants to do that, he can join Tiger and drive around the course together. That's all right. Cool.
I mean, put him on there as a captain or something, yeah. But
because Tiger's already going to show up anyways. Like, even though he's not a captain, he's going to go help out. Like, yeah. Ricky offered to help. A lot of guys offered to help. So, yeah, just let Phil, hey, if you want to be a part of it, there you go. We'll give you some gear. Now go cruise around. Like, you don't need to pick up a golf club. But we'll see how that goes in the coming weeks. We'll definitely preview that one for everybody. I did not get to see a bunch of the Wyndham in person. I watched a lot of it when it was on replay last night when I was doing other podcasts. So I got to catch a lot of the playoff and everything. It was electric. I'll be honest. I didn't think it would be, but a like 6-man playoff was freaking bonkers.
Yeah, I guarantee it. I didn't watch any of it either. I was playing golf myself this weekend, so I didn't catch any of it. But and Kevin Kisner was not going into it. I mean, his last two finishes were 63rd and 73rd. I didn't see it coming.
I'm pretty sure I can say Jesse is too. We're Kiz fans. Like, we love what Kiz brings to the game. He's fun. He's different. He's a short course player, so that part actually checked the box last week. In all things considered, he's played well there in the past, but his current form, sketchy as hell. I'll give PGA Tout on Twitter credit. Like, I like to read a lot of his stuff early on, because some of the early stuff out there is kind of get my mind on the week ahead, more so the course than anything. And he like went through his model and he made a detailed thing about picking Kisner like on Sunday or Monday last week. Like, he was all in on Kisner. I was just like, ballsy. Yeah. Okay. Hey, kudos, man. That's pretty good stuff right there.
Pretty good payday. I'm sure he was in.
Yeah, I think he's like 55 or something. Yeah.
Is that all?
Yeah. I'll take 55. But yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. I just figured, you know.
Well, think of the strength of the field.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah, it wasn't like if it was a major, he'd be a lot different. But I know Kevin had him as another outright. He got I think he put $25 on, got 1,000 out for Kiz. So Kevin, I think, was like his sixth or seventh winner this year. If you followed Kevin's picks all season at the Fancy Degens, every week he puts his picks out. If you follow them all year, you're up like $4,300. that's pretty solid.
That's really good
for free picks. like just follow it. No. Don't mess with your numbers. Just pay what he's paying or whatever your unit size is, whatever you want to call it. $4,300. Like, that's pretty solid stuff there. Kevin knows his golf. We know that, but a lot of guys do. It's cool to see. The playoff was fun because you've played a lot of golf, and you know, every now and then you have a five-some or a random six-some, just like when you're playing with the guys or something, and it gets chaotic just trying to keep up with that to begin with.
For sure.
Now you got these guys, like, literally, okay, who's closer? No, who's closer? It was like the kids on the second playoff hole just threw a dart to within like 3 feet, and just basically you could see on his face just kind of wanted to smirk at all of them, like, yeah, beat that. It was good. It was good stuff. The other thing I'll mention, did you see Justin Rose 3-putt on 18 to get knocked out of the playoffs?
I did not, no.
Yes. He all he had to do was make bogey, 3-putted for double.
Well, he made bogey.
Oh, he made bogey, so he needed a bit par. He 3-putted. Yeah. And
he needed to make birdie because he finished 13 under.
No, to make the playoffs, the FedEx playoffs.
Oh.
He's Mr. 126 because he 3-putted 18. he had a, I think a par putt was 5 feet out or something, and he missed it.
I can tell you exactly. It was 5 feet 4 inches.
Yeah, he missed that for par to go into the playoffs. Missed it, and Chesson Hadley got in after he shot a 62 on Sunday. He would have been 126. He gets in because of that missed putt, and he had his first ever career hole in one in that round yesterday. Like, it was, I love that kind of stuff. Like, watching these guys sweat it out. Like, all I got to tell is, real golf fans or sports fans in general, obviously, if you're listening to this, you're more a golf fan. Go look up Chesson Hadley's interview post round yesterday. He's getting interviewed by CBS, and he cries like 3 different times because people talk about how emotional, like, how tough this is. He says, just making the 125 is a game changer, like, for your career. And it was different. You don't see it from the big boys that often because they're just like coasting to their wins and doing that.
Right. But
the grinder of Hadley. And then after that was over yesterday on the Golf Channel, it was the Korn Ferry guys. They're showing that. And guys were making par on like 14 and like fist pumping because they knew like where they stood and stuff. It was freaking awesome. So, yeah. I'll digress there. If you guys don't like the Northern Trust this weekend, the Korn Ferry Finals in Boise is this weekend. You want to watch some fun stuff, check that out. And that'll be on the Golf Channel too. Yeah. So. Sure. I'll digress there. We'll move on to this week's action at the Northern Trust over there in New Jersey, like I said, right on the Hudson River. And what do you got for past event history?
So obviously this event's kind of jumped around a little bit, but it has been played at this particular golf course, so I'll mention that. Last year, DJ won 30 under, 11 shots over Harris English, but that was at TPC Boston. The 2019 edition was Patrick Reed winning for the second time, his second time winning this event, first time winning it at Liberty National, 16 under, one shot over Answer. 2018, DeChambeau won 14, or 18 under, four shots over Finau. That was at a different golf course. DJ won in 2017, 13 under in a playoff over Spieth at a different golf course. For just like Liberty National stake, the last time before 2019 it was held here was 2013, and that was Adam Scott 11 under, one shot over Graham DeLay, Justin Rose, Gary Woodland, and Tiger Woods.
It's an interesting so what did you say the winning score for Reed was in 19?
16 under, but that was in that was at Liberty National. Yes, so 16 under then, 11 under the time before that, 9 under in the 2009 edition that Heath Slocum won.
They held the President's Cup here. This was the year that the fans of New York were showing their true New York sides, and basically like Jason Day's wife and Leishman's wife and them, it got ugly in a hurry. So this course has been played by a handful of these guys a couple times. So we'll keep that in mind. And Liberty National, it's an elite golf club. It's a private club. It is up there, like I said, up in the New York area, right off the Hudson River, right on the New Jersey side of the Hudson River. They're par 71, 7,353 yards. So kind of a banger for par 71, but not too crazy. You got bent grass fairways. You got bent grass greens. You got really, really thick rough, like the fescue-y Bermuda, like Kentucky bluegrass rough is what I was reading about. So fairways are a premium because these green complexes are some of the smaller complexes you'll see on the PGA Tour. So you're going to want to be able to stop it, basically. If you're throwing flyers out of the rough, you're going to be in trouble. So you're going to want to be playing out of the fairway as much as possible. And with it being a little longer, kind of the opposite of last week, you're looking at a lot of shots coming in from 175 to 200 or even a little over 200 yards. So long irons will be much more in play than short irons this past week. You got a golf course where there's 98 bunkers on it. There's 10 water hazards on the course. So there's trouble to be had if you're messing around there. When you go on Fantasy National, look at the course breakdown. There's 3 par 5s, 4 par 3s, and the rest are par 4s. The par 5 6th hole has a 7% eagle rate and a 57.5% birdie rate. So you're going to want to take advantage of that for sure. The par 5 8th hole, only a 1.2% eagle rate, but a 32% birdie rate. So again, want to have some fun there. And then the par 5 13th, 3% eagle rate, almost 58% birdie rate. So you're going to want to be scoring those. And then the 16th, the short par 4, 16th is 296 yards, has a 37% birdie rate as well. So there's a few holes you really need your guys to take advantage of, to say the least. Other than that, it's a shot maker's golf course. It's a long irons type golf course. And usually the best of the best show up in these events. So keep that in mind as well when you're picking your teams. It's a 125-man field, T65 and ties go into next week's action. The next two events are no cuts. So it's our last cut of the regular season this year. What stats are you looking at, Jesse?
A lot of green regulation, a lot of recent stuff as far as, you know, strokes gained tee to green, strokes gained approach. A lot of that stuff matters. I'm kind of waiting birdie or better just about as much as bogey avoidance, and then par five scoring matters here as well.
Yeah, par five scoring, bogeys. I'm using bogey, birdie or better. I'm using the proximities of 175 to 200 and over 200. Put a little bit of fairways gained in there because I really want to get that off the tee. And then I'm trying to decide if I want to go with some around the green game because these greens are so small. But I think approach games can be huge, but you also have to, you know, get it in the fairway. So we'll see how that plays out with all those things considered. As always, check out fanshare.com. Promo code ALWAYSPRESS to get 20% off the package of your choice. I did not download anything for tonight's show, but go check them out as they have all the cool tools you want to do. And I saw a teaser on Twitter. They got a new partnership coming up for the football season. So go check that out as well, because their football tools are pretty darn awesome too. So go check out Fanshare Sports. But with that being said, Jesse, let's get cracking on the DK picks for the week. 10K and above, John Rahm, 11.5, DJ, 11,000, Spieth, 10.8, Xander, 10.6, Morikawa, 10.4, Brooks, 10.2, Rory, 10,000. We have seven guys in the 10K range, and I can't argue any of it. So what do you like here?
Yeah, I mean, start up top, obviously, with John Rahm, probably playing the best golf in the world still. If you go back to U.S. Open, he won that. He should have won the Memorial. Seventh at the Scottish Open, then finished third at the British Open. Guys just, you know, just playing really well right now, obviously. And then you got DJ right below him, coming off his 10th place finish at the St. Jude. I like going to DJ this week over Rahm myself. Just for, I think, ownership factor. Now, neither one of them I don't think will be super high owned, but either way. And then I like Jordan Spieth at 10.8. You know, he's kind of cooled off a little bit, but, I mean, still playing very well. I mean, 12th at the St. Jude, second at the Open Championship, and then two straight top 20s before that at the U.S. Open, the Memorial. So, like Jordan Spieth quite a bit this week. And those are the three guys I'm mainly focusing on top here. I never get Xander right. I rarely ever get Colin right, but, I mean, obviously he's playing very well too, coming off his British Open win and then finishing 26th at the St. Jude. And then Brooks, you know, he can turn it on any time. Wouldn't be surprised. Not a huge Rory fan.
Yeah, it's a weird range because if like you're looking at my overall rankings, you know, Rahm's 8th, Morikawa's 1st in my rankings. The rest of them are 6th, 14th or worse, like Spieth 52nd, because – I'm waiting proximity from 175 to 200, 200 plus, pretty strong. And you mentioned he's kind of cooled off, and he's like ranks really poorly in this field in those two categories. He's been much better off the tee, much better around the green. His putting, birdie or better, has been great, but his overall long iron play has been scuffling of late. So that moves him down the list. But John Rahm, like you said, one of the best golfers in the world, like right now, literally playing the best golf in the world. So I'm on board with that. I know I texted you a couple weeks ago after DJ said a couple things in a press conference. I said, oh, DJ's going to mess around and win this thing. He looked like he was about to until like midway through Sunday of that event, like at the FedEx. So yeah, he's getting really close. It's going to come. So I'm going to want to sprinkle some DJ again this week. And I like where his current form is at, especially for a guy that needs to get birdies and the par five scoring and everything. I like DJ. Morikawa, you're talking about iron play. It's great. It's weird. He's not as high up as I thought he'd be over the last 24 rounds, but still playing great. And he's second in the field in bogey avoidance, 5th in birdie or better. So I like that quite a bit. And then I might have to have a little bit of Brooksy. It's a big game hunter event. I might have to have a little bit of Brooksy, but my main looks will be Morikawa, DJ, and Rahm for me. And it's going to be a fun one. You're going to want to probably sprinkle a little bit of all these if you're making a handful of lineups, but if you're just making a few, it's Brooks, DJ, and Rahm for me. 9K range, JT's 98, Bryson 96, Victor 95, Abe 94, Scheffler 93, Cantley 92, Berger 91, and Matsuyama 9,000. Who you liking here?
Start with Hovland at 95. He won that BMW championship like back in the end of June, and he's only played a couple events since, 12th at the British Open, 36th St. Jude. I mean, not great, but at 95, I like him quite a bit. Answer is the same for me pretty much as far as just the pricing here. Obviously, he won the St. Jude, so playing very well. Scheffler can make birdies and bunches, and I know it's not a no cut event per se, but like some of these guys will, I think, kind of feel like that because you know a lot of them are locked into next week, no matter what they do, or the next event. I don't know if it's next week or not, but either way, Scotty can kind of go off at any time. So he's got three straight top 15s, and really five of his last six are, you know, inside the top 15 there. So I think he's very playable at that price. And then Berger, man, I really like Daniel Berger this week. Two straight top 10s for him. I feel like he's trending in the right direction, and it's most likely going to end up in a win at some point, you know, in the next few events that he plays. So 9,100, I like him quite a bit. And then Decky at 9,000. You know, he finished second in St. Jude. Where did he finish last week? For some reason, I don't have any of that shit loaded.
Let me see. Let me pull him up real quick. There we go. At the Wyndham, he missed the cut.
Come off the missed cut.
Mm-hmm. His approach was great. He had 3.7 strokes gained approach, but around the green and putting, he got destroyed.
Yeah, well, that's Hideki. I mean,
that's Hideki to a nutshell.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna gain strokes approach. It's just a matter of can he putt. So, I like going back to him after the missed cut. He was playing pretty well before that. So, I wouldn't put too much stock into that. But yeah, I like quite a bit. This is like we talked about last week. Like the 9K range kind of sucked. The 9K range this week is where it's at, in my opinion.
Yep, this is back to the old days, Jesse, where it's like we can just skip the 10K range and let's just load up in the 9K range.
Right.
I feel so much better. Like. Even just looking at my rankings in the model, I have like five guys in the top like 11 out of this field or in this event based on what I'm looking at. And Victor Hovland's second in this field. He's fourth in opportunities gained. He's eighth in proximity of 175 to 200. He's first in 200 plus, and he's eighth in bogey or better. He's playing great golf. His iron play has always been his thing. Putting's been his weakness. His around the green game's also been his weakness. He's 104th in this field over the last 24 rounds. So small greens could give him havoc, but if his approach game is the way it has been for so long, he shouldn't be around the green a ton anyways. So I like Vic quite a bit. I still like Abe Anser. The price tag sucks. And the one concerning thing is like he's 15th in 175 to 200, but he's 100th from 200 plus. So that might be one to delve back into a little more, like how many shots are we looking at from 200 plus? That can make things interesting. But Abe, always a really good iron player, finally broke through a couple weeks ago. You mentioned the price tag is going to be steep for a lot of people, and I get it, but that also lowers his ownership. So I like that quite a bit. I love Scottie Scheffler, 11th in my model, first in birdie or better in this field. As you mentioned, he's a birdie machine. The stats prove it. And he's just kind of basically just, you know, 20th to 30th, like every other stat. So he hangs around, rolls in some birdies, and he doesn't crush you very often. Like when he crushes you, we've experienced it, he crushes you. But usually it's early enough where you can kind of get over it quicker. So right. He doesn't right. like make you sweat it out. It's like all or nothing with Chef. So I'm on board there. Love Berger. Sixth in my model, third in approach, first in proximity 175 to 200, third in bogey avoidance. Like you said, he's playing great golf. The W's coming. And it's one of those, if he like performs well in the FedEx, that could be just enough to push him into the Ryder Cup. So it's one of those, like he's probably got that in the back of his mind too. Like if I go out and win one of these things, that might be a big deal. So Berger, I like a lot. And then I like your take on Hideki. Yeah, the dude can't putt. We know this. He's 121st in the 125-man field in putting over the last 24 rounds. That's Hideki. But everything else is freaking outstanding. So at 9K, at no ownership, I'm there. So, yeah, this range is loaded. We'll kind of review things later. But there's a lot to like here and a lot of different ways to put, like, three guys in a lineup and feel pretty good about things. So I like this 9K range a lot. 8K range, you got Webb, English, Casey, Reed, Smith, Scott, Connors, Finau, Neiman, Burns, all the way down to 8,000. Who you liking in this range?
I'll start with Harris English at 8,800. You know, he probably should have won the St. Jude event. He didn't. He did win the Travelers. He finished third at the U.S. Open, playing very solid golf right now, $8,800. Like him quite a bit. Paul Casey, same kind of boat, man. I mean, I feel like he's trending towards a win at some point, even though it's Paul Casey. So it's like, I always think he's trending towards a win and he never does, except for on very rare occasions. But fifth St. Jude, 15th Open Championship. And then, you know, like at the U.S. Open, seventh, you know, fourth at the PGA, just playing really solid golf right now. Cam Smith at 8,500. He played well in the Olympics and then finished fifth in the St. Jude. Adam Scott at 8,400. Now, this is kind of an odd price bump to me. But either way, he's won here before. He was in the playoff, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So, I think it might be time to, like, I think his ball striking's back, and that's what the big deal was for him. You know, before was basically he never can putt. He's like Hideki, but when the ball striking goes away, then you're just a complete shit golfer. So, ball striking's back. I like him, and he's like, you know, the one tournament he had this past week. Assuming it is back, is not going to weigh super heavily on people's stat models, so he's not going to show up highly in them. So I think his ownership stays suppressed potentially anyways. Corey Connors at 83, another ball striking guy who I think, you know, if the putter gets hot, you know, he can be right there with the rest of these guys. So that's it for me in 8K range there.
Man, it's depressing looking at this stuff now that you got me hooked on Fantasy National. Seeing Tony Finau's stats over the last 24 rounds make me very sick to my stomach. It's bad. Yeah. Like, it's really bad. This guy used to be like, yeah, you play Tony every week. Like, here you go. Right. Top 10, top 5, no problem.
Yeah.
$8,200 Tony Finau, 35% on, no problem. This is bad right now. 109th in fairways gained over the last 24 rounds, 102nd in putting, 107 just in opportunities gained. He used to be a birdie machine. Like, this is bad. Wow. But, yeah, 8K range, love English. I'm with you there as the guy I go to all the time. His around the green game is great. His birdie are better. He's third in the field right now, or last 24 rounds. I like him a lot. A guy I've heard a lot of talk about already, and I started up my model. Paul Casey, he's third in my model. He's fourth in approach. He's 11th in opportunities gained. He's fifth in proximity 200 plus, you know, 18th in birdie or better. He's like a top 25 guy in a lot of key stats. I hate rostering Paul Casey because he's always popular, but he seems like a really good fit for this kind of golf course. So, like, in cash, I think you play Paul Casey for sure. In tournaments, you might have to make some pivots here or there. But I think Casey at 87 is one of those plays you just kind of lock and load and see what happens. Reed's in play, but he doesn't rate out for me well at all. So I'm going to have to, like, really debate that one quite a bit. I always like Cam Smith. I'm with you there. Corey Connors, the ball striker. But Sam Burns, this one stood out to me. 19th in the field. He's 8th in approach, 21st in scrambling, 28th in, you know, proximity, 17th in birdie or better, 19th in bogey avoidance. Doesn't, like, light the world on fire, but he's playing great golf right now. I think he's 10th in the FedEx Cup standings, which is banana, if I heard that correctly earlier, which is nuts. So, like, him and even Neiman is 24th in this field. You can probably get some, at least with Neiman, he'll probably come in really low owned. So those two guys down there on the 8K range will definitely be some interesting developments in my builds as I continue to look, because I usually don't roster a ton of Sam Burns or Neiman. But Burns is playing some very consistent golf, and it seems like, to me at least, he's not talked about a lot lately when you look at, like, leaderboards and stuff. But he's checking the boxes, so we'll see how that one goes. 79 to 75, you got Kisner, Fitzpatrick, Sungjae, Hatton, Kokrak, Harmon, Poulter, Henley, Horschel, Garcia, Bradley, Lowry, and Nah. Another pretty solid-looking range here, Jesse. Who you liking?
Yeah, start with, for me, Kokrak at 7,700. He's not played super great of late, coming off the miscut there at the Wyndham last week, 34th, 26th, 12th, the weeks before that. But I think he can get it back on track on this course. Ian Poulter, he rates out well on my model, 10th place finish at the St. Jude, 26th at the Open Championship, 4th at the Scottish Open Championship there. So, and then I also had let me see here, because my fancy laps, of course, went down. So just trying to figure out who I had checked off there. Sergio, 26th at the St. Jude, 25th 3M Open, 19th. Playing solid golf right now, and he's only, you know, $7,600. So, you know, he's kind of like a Paul Casey light, especially with the pricing there. And then Russell Henley, man, I mean, the guy's just playing really well. I know he didn't. Like, he was in contention. He probably should have won. Obviously, he played terrible on Sunday. Fell out of the playoff. Didn't even make that. But 7th there. Missed the cut at the Open Championship. And if you go back before that, 11th, 19th, 13th. He's playing solid golf. I think he's playable this week.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting range. Like, Sungjae is always intriguing on an iron ball striking type event. Not playing great, kind of like middle of the pack in most of the stats, but he's interesting to me. Hatton is 23rd in my model. It comes down to putting. He's 111th in the field over the last 24 rounds, so that'll be an iffy one. But, you know, you got proximity from 200 plus. He's third, 13th in bogey avoidance, so you know he can get the job in that regard. It's just Can he roll the ball? That's going to be interesting. Kokrak's another one that checks the box as being very good, as you said. It's just fairways gained. He's 92nd in the field. He's 102nd in bogey avoidance. He's got to really limit those bogeys, which got him into trouble last week because he had a ton of birdies and played really well. He just could not get out of his own way at times, and that was a problem last week. Could be a problem again this week. So both those guys are quite interesting, but pivots off of them that I like. Brian Harman, he ranks out 53rd in this model, but he's a 6th around the green. He's 21st in my proximities. He's 26th in fairway gained. Like, he doesn't like light the birdies up. He's like middle of the pack in bogey avoidance. But to me, that's a good tournament pivot. Like, if he runs hot, we know he can contend. If, say, Kokrak or Poulter is popular, I think Harman's one of those guys you can pivot with. I think Henley will be very popular and for good reasons. If you look at his stat line, it resembles Abraham Answers almost to a T, which is pretty scary. Like, they're both struggling from over 200 yards, and they're a big price discrepancy. Like you said, Henley played great last week. Could have easily won that thing. Should have probably won that thing. So he's a great play. He's going to be very popular, I'd imagine, this week. So keep that in mind. I like your take on Sergio, 37th in my model. He's 120th in the field in putting. So that's Sergio's problem as usual, but iron play has been great. His opportunities gained, it's pretty average. So yeah, I don't mind Serge. And then one guy, literally, I tweaked my model like 4 different times because I kept seeing certain names. I'm like, no, this can't be right. This isn't the kind of golfer you want to look for. I looked at different ranges, and this guy was still hanging around. Keegan Bradley is 10th in my model. He's 6th on approach, 17th off the tee, 5th in opportunities gained. He's 13th from 175 to 200. He's 28th in bogey avoidance. He's like, he can't putt. That's his biggest bugaboo. But he ranks out very well, and I have to really have a coming to Jesus meeting on this one. And last but not least, Shane Lowry's 26th in my model. He's playing great golf right now. No one owns him. No one ever rosters him. He's playing really, really good golf. So I'd rather play Lowry over Bradley. I'll tell you that right now. But every time I don't play Bradley, he goes and like has like an 8 under round one, makes me regret life. And then by Sunday, I remember why I didn't play Keegan Bradley. But that's kind of how things go.
Yeah.
7K to 74, Jesse, who you liking here?
It seems like we like a lot of terrible putters.
Yeah, that's the trend.
Strelman at 7,400. He is coming off a 7th place finish there at the Wyndham, 19th Open Championship. Now, he had a couple missed cuts before the Open Championship, but was playing pretty solidly, 3 straight top 20s before that. So I do like him. Munoz at 7,300. He did play last week. He made the cut 29th and 4th at the Olympics. I guess he got knocked out of that playoff or whatever. Anyways, cut the Open Championship, 4th John Deere Classic. He's just playing a lot of really solid golf at the moment. And then Vegas, another guy who's super boom or bust, but you know, we talked about him last week and how the bat, he had such a terrible course history. So I didn't play him at all because of his course history. And of course he ends up, you know, playing well, finished 15th. Now it's another 15th for him. He finished 16th at the Olympics, 2nd at the 3M Open, and then 11th at the John Deere Classic. So, I mean, he hasn't finished outside the top 20 in his last 4 starts. Pretty incredible for Vegas there. And he's only 7,100 bucks. And then also Seamus Power at 7,000. He won the Barbasol a few weeks ago. And they made the cut last week at the Wyndham Championship. He's playing really good golf before that Barbasol win. And one other guy, dude, down here at the bottom at 7K. I mentioned him whenever I went through some event history. Gary Woodland. Kind of sneaky. I know these events aren't the same. It's the Barracuda and the 3M, but 7th and 11th in his last 2 starts.
I think he missed cut last week.
He missed the cut last week. Before that, 7th and 11th, yeah. $7,000.
He looks like he's rounding into form. And that is the one thing I didn't mention about the course preview. It's right on the water, and there's really not a ton of trees. So if it gets windy, it's another atmosphere to think about, and he's got that low stinger. So, hey, if you want to run hot, you can run hot. When I look at this little 7K to $7,400 range, my model doesn't like many of these guys, unless you get cheaper. Like Vegas is 28th. He's 7th off the tee, 11th birdie or better. He's playing really well, as you mentioned. So he's a guy that we like. Charlie Hoffman, 17th in my model, 10th on approach, 11th in opportunities game. He's number 1 in the field from 175 to 200. His biggest problem is hitting fairways. So 91st in the field, and that could be an issue. So keep that in mind. And he struggles around the green. So got to hope the iron plays on with Hoffman. But for 7K, I don't hate that at all. You know, he can get birdies in bunches. And I like the Seamus Power call at 7,000. He's fifth in my model. He has no red at all. It's pretty solid, especially ninth and birdie or better, and fifth in bogey avoidance. So that's one thing. Like, he annoys me, but then seeing this, it makes sense. When I watch him, like, on Thursdays, and I keep checking his card, it's like eight straight pars. It's like, make some birdies, man. But then I start thinking, well, he's not bogeying any holes. So this is a good thing. He finishes, like, three under with no bogey, like a bogey-free round. So I'm like, yeah, I guess it's not the end of the world. But Seamus Power at 7K is another guy that looks pretty good when we look at this. So I'm like, the 7K range, I kind of like the bottom and the top. It's like that middle, not liking a whole lot for me. 6K range, who's standing out for you?
Yeah, there's plenty of guys to play down here this week. Matt McNeely at 6,900. He can hit it a long ways off the tee. I don't think he played last week. Again, this
I don't believe he did.
Not loaded up. He didn't. So Barracuda was his last start, 18th, 16th, 18th, 21st in his last four starts. Pretty solid for guys 60. I mean, obviously the events are not comparable, but long story short, playing solid golf. Taylor Gooch, another guy, 6,800. I think he's very playable. Pat Perez, did you see his interview? I saw some snippets of like some different stuff he said. Did you catch that interview?
I heard some. It was very hot takey, but I've not heard anything, no.
Two straight make cuts for him. Miscut the John Deere, 14th Rocket Mortgage. Again, playing some shit events, but making some cuts there. Brian Stewart at 6,500 is another guy who I think is playable. Kyle Stanley at 6,400. Terrible putter, ball striker. Harry Higgs at 6,100 bucks. He did. He had a really good week last week, and he's supposed to have a match, I think, tomorrow with Phil. 15th at the Wyndham Championship before that. Cut. No, he's 68th. Cut. I mean, he's not been playing well, but at 6,100 bucks, I mean, like, I'd take a chance on him.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting field because you got to think about it. Probably like 50 guys go home because it's T65 and ties. So let's just say 75 guys make the weekend for fun. 50 guys go home. So you're going to have some chances to play some stars and scrubs. And there's a lot of good players because it's such an elite field. So you mentioned guys like McNeely. Carlos Ortiz is here at $6,900. You know, played great in the Olympics. He's played really good golf of late. Joel Dahman, he's 6,600. 11th in fairways gained. 10th in proximity from 175 to 200. 10th in opportunities gained over the last 24 rounds. So he's a good one for me in this field. You mentioned Brian Stewart. There's some other guys that's literally all or nothing here. Luke List, he's 15th in my model, 118 in putting, but 12th in proximity of 175 to 200, 25th in 200 plus, 16th in opportunities gained. Well, something's got to give, right?
Yeah.
Kyle Stanley's fourth in my model, so I'm going to have way too much of him. I can already tell at 6,400, and he can't. He's 124th in the field in putting. He's almost dead freaking last. But 7th in approach, 6th in opportunities game, 5th in fairways, 5th in proximity, 8th in proximity over 200. Everything you want, there he is. So 6,400, but Kyle Stanley is not going to be fun. Henrik Norlander is one I always love to play because he doesn't get played a ton, but he plays very good, consistent golf, irons, putts well. $6,300, he's a guy that I like a lot down here as a potential low ownership play. Dougie Gims down here, and he's actually playing some pretty good golf outside of putting. He does everything else really well. Like, we should have a literally make team no putt lineups and see how that goes.
Oh, you really can in this field.
Yeah, because there's so many really good long iron players that just cannot putt to save their freaking life. But it'll be an interesting one, to say the least. All right, let's recap things real quick. Jesse, 10K and above, who's your number one play?
I'm going to say Spieth.
I'm going to go with Morikawa. It's probably the lazy way out, but I'm going Morikawa. 9K range, go ahead and pick two because this thing is, we like so many guys here.
I'm going to say Berger and Scheffler.
I like those two a lot. I'll go Victor and Berger to make it a little different, but I like a lot in this range as well. 8K range, go ahead and go two.
Casey and Scott.
I'm going to go with English and Casey. 75 to 79, go ahead and give me one or two.
I'll just give you one. I'm going to say Henley.
Yeah, I'm going to go, man, he's the best.
I like Lowry, though. I like your Lowry call, too. I forgot about him, man.
I'm going to go with Lowry. Like, if I just went off my model, it would be Keegan Bradley. He's the highest ranked in this range for me, but I'm going to go with Lowry. I like Lowry a lot at 7,500. 7K to 74, who you like?
I'll say Streelman and Vegas.
I'm going to go with Seamus Power and Charlie Hoffman. Those would be my two, and then a couple 6K punts.
McNeely, and then like further on down the list would be like, you know, Stewart, you were on him as well.
Yep. I'll go with Stanley because I just, oh man, that's going to be a bad miscut coming. I can see it now. Stanley, and give me Joel Dahmen. Give me Joel Dahmen in this one. So yeah, this will be fun. If you're, I'm not going to play cash this week. Don't think we can do cash. If you're starting a GPP lineup out though, Jesse, who are you starting out with?
I like Berger, and then I think Munoz would be a decent GPP play there. Should be pretty low owned. Has played well, especially in big events of late. And then you throw in somebody like, I mean, I really like your idea of the three up top as far as 9K range goes. So I like Scheffler, I think, is GPP worthy.
Yeah, I was going to say, just for fun, go like Scheffler, Berger, and Hoffman. Start out with that. See mm-hmm. where your build goes. That's literally guys that can light it up with the long irons, and then hopefully they can putt. That's the million-dollar question. With all that said, 125 golfers this weekend, Jesse. Usually the cream rises to the top. Who you like winning this thing?
Well, you didn't remind me to pull up my odds, so you go ahead.
Brooks at 25 always has my attention, just because Brooks can win any time. But in a loaded field, you're going to get some good odds on some guys. Like even Pat Reed at 40, he's won here before. It's hard to ignore. I think if you want to go deeper, Shane Lowry at 66, because I think he is good enough to win an event like this, especially if it does get windy, that just favors Shane Lowry even more. So I think he's very intriguing at 66. Then there could be some nice long shots out here if some guys get hot with the flat stick, because I mentioned a lot of guys that are great ball strikers. They're going to be priced really cheap that if they can just roll the rock, you never know what happens. So keep an eye out for some of those guys. Like, no one's standing out to me as I'm scrolling the cheap guys, but maybe some top 20 stuff or something.
Yeah, I like Berger at 28.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I know everybody and their mom's already on JT at 25. I've heard that everywhere.
Guaranteed.
So that's going to be happening. Like even like Victor at 40 is interesting because he rated out really well, and somehow he's 40-1. So that's an interesting one as well. So it'll be a fun week, to say the least. It'll be good golf. The best of the best are playing. So that part will be a plus. The fact it's 125 golfers, not so much a plus, but we'll see how it all goes. But any final closing thoughts for the Northern Trust?
I don't. This is kind of the last good week to play golf, though, for a while, as far as the DFS goes, because next two are no-cut events, and then the Ryder Cup. And then we get into your bread and butter, the Safeway, newly renamed the –
I can't remember what it's some like something malware weird. Software protection program.
Some Silicon Valley bullshit.
Yeah, it's pretty much 100% what it is. So that'll make things really fun. But I love those events. I cannot wait. You got like that, probably the Sanderson Farms. We got all these goofy ones with.
You got football going on at the same time, man.
Yep. It gets real because then we'll get into it then. But it makes DFS PGA really fun. That's all I got to say.
I agree.
But everybody, make sure you follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm Matt Beattie, Entrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. If you guys give a rate and review on iTunes, we truly would appreciate it. But good luck this week. We'll be back to you guys next week. This was your Northern Trust preview. See you guys later. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun? Just remember when they come up.